The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Last weekend, Judy and I were visiting friends at their lakeside cottage northeast of Toronto, Canada. It was a pleasant weekend. The planning for that, kind of in a nefarious way, began last spring when they found out we were going to be in Canada over the summer. Cheryl, the wife, said we're going to have a birthday party for Rick, and we need somebody to be a decoy to get him out of the house. So we went for a five-hour boat ride, and when we came back, the kids were there, and the house was decorated, and they were waiting on the dock and had a nice party on Saturday afternoon. It was a whole weekend, with no phone, no internet access, no TV. It was delightful in that way, you know. Didn't have any of those distractions. But it also shielded us from reality, because on the way back, when we turned on the radio, our sense of peace and tranquility and relaxation was shattered as we heard of the two mass shootings that had occurred in the United States those 2 days while we were at the cottage. And so, all of us, we ask why. We debate solutions. And we're aware that partisan agendas seem to keep us divided. We know we need more than our present broken, sinful reality to bring an end to the hatred and the division that plagues us. In working with our lessons for today and in preparing this sermon, the second reading from Hebrews 11, I think, speaks a word from God into our confusion. Well, Hebrews 11 is a rather famous passage on faith, especially from faith of our what we would call our Old Testament heroes. And I appreciate and acknowledge Pastor Evan McClanahan's comments on this text in helping me shape what I'm going to say in this sermon. Now, as I said, Hebrews 11 is often called the Hall of Faith, or sometimes called the Roll Call of the Faithful. We didn't hear the whole thing this morning. There were some verses that were omitted in the reading appointed, but the entire chapter is dedicated to recounting the courageous men and women who trusted God and who acted in faith. They acted on that which is hoped for, not that which is seen. Now, we heard about Abraham in that text, but if you look at the whole sweep of it, if you read the whole chapter, there's Abel, there's Abraham, there's Sarah and Moses. There's Rahab. There's Samson. And more. Hebrews 11 chronicles real, human, true heroes who persisted in the face of hardship, threat, hunger, and injustice. And they are heroes precisely because they persevered. They did not know the outcome of what they were doing. They did not know if they would be fed or have a place to sleep at night. They lived in times of change and in times of judgment. For all they knew, their entire lives would be useless. The faith they loved and clung to wouldn't last a generation, and maybe the cause would be lost, and yet they persevered. Now, our heroes of faith, as are outlined here in Hebrews 11, highlight two very different ways to live, with faith and without faith. One is a life with hope, one is a life without hope. And what we see when we see terrorism is a life without faith. A life that believes there is no hope, that things can get better, or that there is a purpose when things are not as good as we want them to be. For a person who lives life without hope, the immigrants, the gays, the Jews, the rich, the Christians, whoever, they're to blame for how bad things are. And those without hope believe that if we kill enough of them or strike fear into their heart, we can make everyone else feel our rage. Because there is no hope that a sovereign and good God is in control, fearful men and women, and usually men, take matters into their own hands. And when they lose patience with God's timing, the only solution becomes too often violence. Those who live without faith cannot envision a better future. They don't see a way out from the bad news they read on their favorite blogs or hear in the headlines. They can't imagine how people different from them can be our neighbor, or how less than ideal economic circumstances can be improved. So they are afraid. And in extreme cases, because they cannot imagine anything better, they become violent. It's been said that those who commit violence are cowards. I think that's true. Because it takes courage to have faith and to trust in God. Let it never be said that to trust in God is easy, or that merely identifying yourself as a Christian means you really and deeply trust God. To really trust in God means that you are vulnerable before God, and that you believe with these heroes of the faith, as we heard in Hebrews 11, that you believe with them that things will come to pass with absolutely no evidence right now that this is the case. Fear of the future, fear of change, that's something we all have to deal with. And yet, what is rational or reasonable fear, and when does it become sin? Now, there were times when I was not in favor of how fast changes were being enacted in our own Evangelical Lutheran Church. And I was told that I was afraid. I disagreed with them then, and I still do. Sometimes you should oppose change. Sometimes you should not. Sometimes opposition to change is out of fear, and sometimes it is not. Sometimes hating change demonstrates a lack of faith. And sometimes opposing change demonstrates a strong faith. Yes, each issue is different. Do you know, for example, where we get the word sabotage? There's a legend that French workers who opposed technological innovation would throw their wooden shoes, their sabots, into the machinery. Actually, the word likely refers to the process of slowing work down to cost a manufacturer money. It's like a form of on-the-job striking. Such clumsy or slow work was equated to a person who wore wooden shoes. But the idea is the same. A saboteur is one who willfully destroys or slows progress because of a fear of change. It seems to me that much of the terror that we see is because the fear of change is so great that those who perpetrate the terror see no hope of resolution. Well, there certainly are more ideal circumstances than others, but in many cases we have no idea if change will be for the better or worse, because we do not know the future. So, what does a life of faith look like? How is it different? First, we trust that God works all things out for good. And that doesn't mean that God makes everything good for us. Rather, God works everything out for purposes that God knows. And we trust that in God's timing and providence, God is doing exactly what God intends. When God was contemplating destroying Sodom, and Abraham is bargaining with him, Abraham says to God rhetorically, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" Answer, obviously, is yes, God does. Second, if we live by faith, we act as though we believe God will do what is just. And we don't just sit back and wait for God to handle it. We pray. We read the scriptures. We're involved in conversation with other believers. We actively seek God's will so that we, when we are confronted with change, we do our best to assess whether it is change for the better or worse. And often, as is the case with technological change, I think it's a bit of both. But even when we fight for truth and justice and lose, we still trust God. For in the end, we trust, we believe that God exists. We know that. And that He is the sovereign judge of all. So it is not our place to judge prematurely. We don't get to violate the law of God by murdering and terrorizing, or even by lying and stealing because we believe we need to make things right. That is fear, not faith. Audrey Hepburn once said, "To plant a garden is to believe in tomorrow." So what is the garden that you can plant today? Maybe it's an actual garden. Maybe it is reinvesting in new ways in ministry here at St. John. It is at the very least being part of the solution rather than violently being part of the problem. You know, in our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus tells us that we do not know the day nor the hour when He will come again. Therefore, we are to be alert and ready for His coming again at any time. And we know that He comes to us through other people, through people in need, through all of this. And so we do not know when He was coming. So it's a daily seeking to see and know Him and to respond and be faithful to Him and His coming. To daily seek to do what is right. to daily pray to God, and to daily seek peace with our neighbor. That's what it means to be faithful. So let us keep watch like those heroes did before us, not giving in to the cynicism of our day, not losing so much faith in God that violence and hatred and fear become our only answers. Pray. Yes, but also by our faith and actions and words, seek to be God's hands and feet, seeking to be agents of peace and reconciliation in the midst of fear and hatred. Like Abraham and all the heroes of faith who have gone before us, God is calling us to live faithfully and honestly and boldly, trusting in God's word and God's promise, making that the source of our strength and our guide in the midst of turbulent times. Amen.